We've been going through on Wednesday nights the seven mysteries revealed through Paul to the church. And if you want to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, these things are so important. I thought we'd just go over them briefly in the morning in the Sunday school. And if you want to, we're taking a little deeper dive into these things on Wednesday nights. And the first four mysteries that we're going to talk about today are on the website. So if you want to check them out, they're about 40 to 50 minutes long on each one of them. And these are very, very important things to understand. And so the Bible says we're supposed to have, we have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to have a better understanding of who He is. And we're supposed to see things differently than the world sees things. And the problem we have is churches aren't preaching the truth. Churches aren't teaching the truth. Churches aren't staying with the old stuff, the real Bible doctrine, true Bible doctrine. They've gone the way of man for the most part. But a lot of churches out there are still trying to do what's right, preach what's right, and teach what's right. And that's not the most popular thing to hear anymore. I mean, people want the truth. They want their ears tickled. But honestly, even people that are in a church or belong to a church that tries to teach and preach the truth, and they don't read their Bible. And they don't... If you want to see things God's way, you're going to have to see things from the Bible. I mean, we are so caught up in and infiltrated with the garbage of this world, we don't even know what we're looking at anymore. We don't realize how far off we are from what God really wants us to not only be, but to see. We don't see things the way a lot of times He wants us to see them, because we don't read our Bible, don't study our Bible, and we don't get a lot of Bible teaching. Now, preaching, praise God for preaching. God called people to preach, and He chose to save those that are lost by the preaching. And convict the hearts by preaching, but teaching is where you get grounded and get your mind renewed. Get the renewing of the mind so we see things the way God sees things. Two interesting things about seeing things the way God sees things is, one, you start to see yourself differently. Three things. Two, you'll start to see the Lord differently. And three, the world will start to disgust you. It really will. The direction it's going, the things that are going on, it just gets kind of... But that's what God sees. He doesn't look down here and go, happy, happy, joy, joy. Look at all these little people down there doing all these good things. He looks down here and says, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? You know, He's not looking down here clapping and saying, yay, everybody's doing great. Quite the opposite. But the seven mysteries revealed to Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So He has given us these mysteries, and He expects us to be faithful with the mysteries. And the reason, and we've gone over this, is going to be a review for a lot of folks that have been here on Wednesday nights, but the reason there's 15 different Bible beliefs in Baptist churches, you know, you can almost see 15 different denominations of Baptists. And you see the Methodists believe one thing, the Lutherans believe something else, and the Catholics believe this, and the Methodists believe that. And most of the churches outside of Baptist believe pretty much what the Catholics believe, because that's where they come from. And even Martin Luther didn't get far enough away from Catholicism. He wasn't trying to get rid of Catholicism, he was trying to reform it. That's why they call them reformers. You can't reform some things. Some things are so deformed they can't be reformed, amen. But the reason these beliefs are so different is because these mysteries have not been faithfully held on to. And we're going to look at these mysteries today. And let's see if I can get this up here without cheat. Seven mysteries revealed through Paul. So the first one is the mystery of godliness. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Like I said, we're just going to read a verse on each one of these and just go over it real quickly. But we did go in depth on Wednesday night. 1 Timothy Three. It's the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." So we know manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, all these things, we could obviously tell it's pointing to Jesus Christ. So this is a mystery we're supposed to hold on to. It's something that was revealed to Paul to give to the church, and we don't understand it all, but we do know it's true because it's in the Bible, and we understand that Jesus Christ is God, right? So that's probably the main mystery that's attacked. The main thing that's attacked in this age is the fact that Jesus Christ is God. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. They believe he is a God. The Mormons think he was so good he became a God. I mean, there's just all kinds of crazy stuff out there. And you'll get people saying, well, he's God, but he's not God the Father, and he's not the Holy Spirit. But then again, we have one God that's three parts. So we've used the illustration before of a football. It's got an outer skin, it's got an inner bladder, and it's got an air. They all make up the football. They without one or the other, you don't have it, the football. But he's a triune God. He's a three-part God. Jesus Christ was God on this earth in the flesh, and he is God today. He always has been, and he always will be. He wasn't created being. He was not created of God. He was born in the flesh, but he was the Word from eternity past, and he's the Word to eternity future. He always has. He is the I Am. And I Am, the reason God says, when Moses said, "Tell him, who shall I tell him sent me?" He said, "Tell him, I Am. I Am the I Am." Because he's not was, is, or will be. He is. He has I Am. He exists outside of time. He's all the way left and right direction of eternity. God. I was talking to a guy at Walmart a couple days ago. This old boy, I mean, he'd spent enough money to build a new house on tattoos, it looked like, and had a big old hula hoop in his ear, you know, and all this stuff going on. And I handed him a tract, and he said, "I'm not interested." He goes, "I appreciate what you believe. I believe what I believe, and I don't have any problem with what you believe. I just believe what I believe." Got into this crazy stuff. Well, he had these really blue eyes with spots all over him. He had these contacts, you know, with these, you've seen them probably. But they were really, really weird blue with dots all over them. And we talked for a little while, you know, and, you know, he says, I said, you know, Jesus Christ came to this earth and died for your sins. He goes, "Well, if that's what you believe, I'm agnostic." And it just blows my mind how many people I talk to that say they're agnostic or atheist, and all they are is disgruntled Baptists. I mean, that's what they are. And I got to talking to him, and he said, "Well, this is why I used to go to church and believe this, that, and the other, and now I'm agnostic." And, well, that's one step away from being a fool. The fool said in his heart there is no God. He's saying he doesn't know if there's a God or not. I said, "Well, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day and a day, utter speech." I mean, you can look out here and see that God created this. We didn't come from monkeys. It didn't come from anything, from nothing. And you can't add enough magic time in there to make this stuff from nothing. There has to be something always existed. Either everything always existed or God always existed and made everything. One of the two has to be, because there's no way you can take nothing and create anything out of it. So he said, "Well, yeah." He goes, I said, "That's religion. That's faith on both ends of this thing." He goes, "I agree." And I said, "Look, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not slamming you for what you believe. I understand people get confused." I said, "But if you're wrong, that's a terrible thing." He goes, "Well, nobody can know until they're dead." I said, "When you're dead, it's too late." He said, "Well, yeah, that's true." And I said, "If you're dead and it's too late and you're in eternal fire, that's a big mistake." He said, "I agree." And he goes, "I used to go to a Baptist church down in Kentucky, you know." so he had a Baptist heritage. And I don't, who knows? The guy could be saved and all goofed up. I have no idea what's going on with the guy. But obviously he's upset about something, and he just ran from the truth. And, you know, you tell me you don't believe in God, but look at the God he's worshiping. I mean, he's posting on his body who he worships. I was standing in line at another store, and the guy was, you know, kind of a rough-looking character, you know, and I hand him a track. Hey, how's it going? Pretty good. How you doing? I said, all right. Hand him a track. Look, he's got a blood-sucking demon tattooed on his neck. So I invited him to church. I figured, you know, we got some blood-sucking demons in church. It don't matter. Bring them on in. We more the merrier. No, but, you know, he says, I might do that. I used to go to church. He was from Louisiana. So we might have a whole bunch of Southerners coming in here. I don't know. But it's just that they, for some reason, they go a different direction. You know. And I understand. I think a lot of it is the battle with the flesh, and they just quit. If you come in here on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night, or what, you come in here when church is in session, and I'm telling you, hey, look, we're all wicked. We need to be right with this book. We need to be cleaned up by that book. We need to follow that book. We need to submit to that book. We need to separate from the world. We need to, and I'm not talking about specific separation, like, you know, your dress has to be an inch off the floor, your cufflinks have to be this way and that way. I'm talking about not entertaining evil. You know, and I'm telling you that, and your flesh is going, yeah, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And the next thing you know, you'll find a reason to say, I hate that place. I don't believe in God. I don't want the Bible. I want to do what the flesh wants to do. But if you're reading your Bible and praying, you got a chance of making it. If you don't, you don't, sister. Absolutely, but we go through that all the time. There ain't none of us. I don't deserve to be standing here right now. I mean, God could have smoked me through the last week and been right doing it. But the righteousness of Christ and God's mercy, we're all here today. But yeah, I mean, you have to give them some. Yeah, and I don't know, too. There could be that, too. There could be that too, because I just said earlier we've got 15 different flavors of Baptists. I'm being conservative. So maybe they were in a Baptist church that said they were Baptist, but they were really legalist, and they were, you know, you can lose your salvation, you know, God won't forgive you, God's after you, he's angry with you all the time, there's no mercy, no grace. If you get that, you can go the other way too. But I think most of the time, let's assume that the truth's being preached, and it's being preached with some moderation and balance, and somebody gets out, it's because they just go with the flesh. The battle is so intense. I mean, I honestly, when the alarm went off this morning, I didn't want to come to church. You know? But my wife said, you have to. You're the pastor. I said, no, I don't have to. The rapture could happen at 9 o'clock, right? But the thing is, these mysteries are something that they cannot be compromised on. You can't compromise on these things. These are really, seriously, these are Baptist distinctives. And we get in some history. I'll tell you what, the atheists, the liberals, Fox, CNN, and all those nuts out there on both sides, they should thank not us as Baptists, but the historic Baptists for their freedoms. Because the reason the United States has freedom of speech is because of the Baptist. It really was. And if you went to true Baptist history, true American history, you're going to find out at the beginning that the people that were over here were wanting to do another church state. There were Calvinists and there were Anglicans. They were all goofed up. And the Baptists were fighting against that. And the main tenet of the Baptist is separation of church and state. The church doesn't tell you what... The state doesn't tell you what to believe is spiritually. And that was a tenet of the Baptist. That was not, the rest of the belief systems all come out of a church political state system. They all come out of a system of either Roman Catholicism or Anglican or whatever, Greek Orthodox. You look at all these things, they're all state religions, which leads to communism. And the only reason we have any freedoms at all in this country the one line in our Constitution talking about being endowed by our Creator, you talk about a freedom of speech. That was put in there because of the Baptists. The Baptists were being put in jail in this country for preaching that kind of stuff against the people that wanted to start another church state religion over here. And some of our founding fathers, I don't remember if it was Madison and Jefferson, or there were lawyers, were defending the Baptist. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, look at us, we're the Baptists. I'm saying the beliefs that we have are the reason we have freedom in this country. And most of the people that come over here that were religious, that were deists, they didn't believe exactly what that, you know, what our country's founded on. It's founded on principles that Baptists fought and died for. And you look at the wars that were fought, you know, Civil War and American, you know, all these different wars, there were Baptist pastors in there. You know, and I'm not saying we ought to go to war or anything like that, but spiritually we're in a battle. But this mystery here, the mystery of godliness, God in the flesh, is something that absolutely cannot be compromised on. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let's go with 26 and 27. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there's Christ indwelling the believer. That's a mystery. The apostles didn't even understand that at the beginning of the church age. Paul was given that ministry, mystery. And his ministry was to give that mystery to other people. He gave it to the other apostles. He's the one that withstood Peter and told him, hey, say, look, there's something different now. And the body of Christ couldn't have started before the body of Christ was broken. So the body of Christ, the church, the bride, which is what we're going to talk about here in a minute, that all began after the crucifixion, after his body was broken. There were people called out assembly as a church, the 12 disciples, or 12, yeah, the 11, 12 disciples there. They were called out, but they weren't in the body of Christ. Now, I believe that they became part of the body of Christ after the crucifixion and resurrection when he breathed on them in the upper room. They became body of Christ. It was a spiritual baptism. But there was no body of Christ before Christ was crucified. There couldn't be. So things were different before the cross than were after the cross. And things from the cross unto the Paul were in a transition period. And even part of Paul's ministry was part of a transition period into the full-blown church age where he was still dealing with the Jews. By the end of Acts, he's not dealing with the Jews anymore. He's turned to the Gentiles, and now Jews and Gentiles are one in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're not a Jew or a Gentile. So, let's see here. The mystery of the indwelling Christ. Christ indwelling the believer. That's the Holy Spirit in you. And then, let's see, the third one is Christ in the church. Ephesians chapter 5. The church, which is the body, which is the bride. Ephesians 5, let's see, what was it, 5:32. And we know this is a chapter where it's talking about Christ and the church and the husband and the wife. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You get over here to verse 32. He's talking about all these things about the, well, let's look at 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So he's talking about the church. In verse 32, it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's talking about the husband and the wife as Christ and the church and the relationship being similar. And so the mystery is Christ and the church. And it's the church, if you want to run all the references and stuff, it's on the internet, Christ and the church. about showing us the church is the body. The church is not a local assembly. A local assembly is a local representation of the church. The church is anybody that's saved all around the world, anybody that's called on Christ. They're part of the body. They're part of the church. They're part of the bride-to-be. We're a spouse to one husband. And that's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. So the mysteries are the mystery of godliness, God in the flesh, indwelling Christ, and Christ in and the church, which is Christ is in you and you're in him. You're part of his body. He says, now you're bone of, the bone, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, which is what Adam said about Eve. So that's why he's comparing the Christ and church. Then you look at the fourth thing, praise the Lord, the rapture, the mystery of the rapture. And we're looking at 1 Corinthians 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this mystery, it's the mystery of the rapture. And you, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but it's talking about being caught up, being caught away, and that's, it means rapture. Rapture means the same thing. So you got a lot of people now, though, that, well, there is no rapture. There is no pre-tribulation rapture. There is no rapture. There is no, this is all spiritual. There's no millennial reign. There's no this, that, or the other. Well, that's not what the church has believed, and that's what the Bible shows. We just in the book of Revelation, you can see all these things. But the mystery of the rapture, people didn't understand exactly what was going on with the rapture. It was a mystery revealed to Paul. Paul was expecting it possibly to happen in his day. He was saying we when he was expecting the rapture. We, which are caught up, because he was looking forward to the Lord calling him out of here. But the mystery of the rapture, and we don't know how exactly it happens, but we know it's going to happen. We did a study on this, I believe it was last Wednesday, talks about flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, handle me. They thought he was a spirit when he just showed up in the middle of the room. He said, handle me, because the spirit hath not flesh and bones. He didn't have blood, but he had flesh and bones. And they were able to stick their fingers in his nail-scarred hands and stick his hand in his other side. And we talked about that glorified body. So that we look at that on the internet if you want, but that we went into a little more depth on that. And then we have, it's tough to figure out which one of these to put first, but we're going to put mystery of iniquity. That is a funny looking end. We'll change that. Mystery of iniquity. It's talking about sin. It's talking about the Antichrist. So let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2. And 7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's talking about the Antichrist. And actually, that mystery, that spirit, it was a mystery. He's revealing it through Paul, but that thing's been working since Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, when he's talking to Eve about her seed bruising his head and his seed bruising his heel, he's talking about Christ versus the Antichrist. And then you can see all the way through the Old Testament, you can see Herod trying to kill the male children of Israel and all this other stuff, and he's the devil. That's the spirit of Antichrist working through Herod, working through the Pharaohs, working through all the way up to Jesus' time, through Pilate and all those folks. That has been working through history. And it's the spirit of Antichrist, and there's a mystery of what's going on, but now we can see it. We have a full revelation of what God wants us to have. We can see that mystery working in the Old Testament. We can see it working in Genesis. We can see it working in Exodus. We can see it working up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we can see it working today, obviously. I mean, it's working in Washington. Anybody that hates Israel, it's a mystery of iniquity. They hate Jesus Christ. If they hate Israel, it's because they hate Jesus Christ, and he's from Israel. They hate the Jews. The funny thing is, a lot of the Jews hate the Jews. I mean, it's crazy. But we'll get into this, Lord willing, a little more Wednesday night, if we decide to do this instead of the next one Wednesday night. But either this Wednesday or next Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll get into this a little more. But the mystery of iniquity, the Antichrist, and you get up to Revelation and you look at the fact that the man of sin is going to rule for 3.5 years with a peace covenant with Israel, and then he's going to be killed. He's going to come back from the dead as the full-blown Antichrist with Satan incarnate, Satan inside of him, and he's going to just try to destroy everything. But when he raises from the dead, it says he gets cut. He gets hit with a sword over his arm and his right eye. And if you look at history, and you look at Napoleon, and you look at Hitler, and you look at these guys, they always had something wrong with them. And it was either an arm or an eye problem. And Hitler had an arm problem. Napoleon, what is he doing like this all the time? I mean, there's a lot of things that God shows those men. We can look back and say, hey, there he is. And what'd Hitler do? How many Jews did he kill? 6 million or something like that? It was a bunch. And it's the spirit of the Antichrist, mystery of iniquity. And when that was going on, there were some, you know, there were Baptist preachers and some Bible-believing preachers going, there he is right there, the Antichrist. Well, he's not the Antichrist that's going to rule and reign for a seven-year period, but it's the same spirit, the spirit of Antichrist. And when you get a guy or a woman in our White House that hates Israel, it's the same spirit. Same spirit. And it's not going to bode well for the United States going like that. So the mystery of godliness, Christ and God in the flesh, the mystery of indwelling Christ, mystery of Christ in the church, mystery of the rapture, mystery of iniquity, the Antichrist. We'll deal with that a little more, like I say, one of these Wednesday nights soon. And here's another one that's attacked, I mean seriously attacked. It's the blindness in part and restoration, and we'll make that an and restoration of Israel. And that is Romans 11, verse 25. Romans 11, 25. Anybody in here ever heard that God's through with Israel and we replaced Israel, the church replaced Israel? Anybody heard that? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that. A lot of churches teach that. The Catholic Church believes that. I don't know if they believe it, but they teach it. A lot of churches believe that. Some Baptist churches believe that, or so-called Baptist churches. Well, look at this, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Well, that's an important verse. There's another important verse in here that people overlook. It says God turned to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. Now, why would he provoke them to jealousy if he's done with them? He's not done with them. He's trying to get them to turn back. He's making them jealous. And when somebody tries to make somebody jealous, they're not done with them. They're trying to get him to turn to them. So why would he even fool with him? He's done with him. And second of all, in the book of Revelation, it talks about 144 male Jewish virgins in the tribulation time. And there are 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So why would they be there if God's through with Israel? God's not through with Israel. So the mystery of the blindness in part and the restoration of Israel. So Paul's telling them, because obviously there was a problem back in too, and Paul's telling them, hey, God's telling Paul, and Paul's talking to the church about Israel is going to be turned back to God. When? When the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So when's that happen? So the Gentile time started before Christ. They were in Babylonian captivity before Christ ever walked this earth. Israel was. So the Gentiles were controlling everything. And who was controlling it? You get up to Christ, who was in control when Jesus Christ was born? When he was crucified? Rome. The fullness of the Gentiles, the end of the church age. And then he turns back to the Jews in the tribulation time and lets the devil have a heyday with them so they'll turn back to him. And he pours out his wrath at the end of that, destroys the beast, false prophet, casts him in the lake of fire. We've got a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ with the devil bound for 1,000 years. And then the devil, he's going to turn him loose for a season, and he's going to destroy the kings of the earth that come against him in Jerusalem and cast the devil in the lake of fire for eternity. But the thing is that the fullness of the Gentiles will be when the church is out of here. So right now, and honestly, when Jesus Christ walked this earth, Rome was in control. And Israel said, Rome is their enemy. And Israel said, we have no king but Caesar. Caesar's Roman, right? So at the end of the Laodicean church age, but when the rapture happens, guess who's going to be in control? Guess who's in control? It's Rome. You talk about politics and spiritual things, there's more influence from Rome, Italy than there is any other anywhere. A lot of it's behind the scenes. But the spiritual part of it is definitely being controlled by Rome. Who, the god of this world, little g god of this world, is the devil. Right? You want to talk about the spirit of Antichrist, I can show you where his throne is. And it's on seven mountains, seven hills. And it's, it dresses itself up in his Halloween costume, pretends to be God. And he's got all kinds of pagan, I mean, there's all kinds of pagan stuff all over their hat, the throne, the surroundings, everything is set up. It's just pagan setup. And all the beliefs, we talked about this before, and I am kicking Santa Claus because he's the devil. But the Christmas thing, you want to celebrate Jesus Christ's birth, praise the Lord. Celebrate it to the Lord. But he wasn't born December 25th. He was born probably late September, early October, probably late September. We dealt with that before too. But anyway, that stuff, Christ Mass, that comes from the Catholic Church. I haven't done a study on this. I know there's some really wicked stuff from Halloween, but I am pretty sure that if you trace it back, you're going to find that it started in Rome. I'm almost positive of that. Seriously, because it's all Babylonian stuff. They took all that Babylonian stuff and made themselves a religious system, which is going to get us to the last mystery here in just a minute. Seven, Mystery Babylon. Let's look at Revelation 17:5. Now, your average Baptist Sunday school teacher would get out, we'd get up and walk out of here and never come back because we just kicked the Pope. They would. They'd say, oh, he's a fine man. We may not agree with everything, but he's a fine religious man. The guy's a devil. He's out there trying to get the Jews and the Islam and Catholicism together for a one-world religion right now. He's been doing that for years. I guess the old one just passed away, old Benedict or whoever, and they said, well, you want to know what his last words were? No, I probably couldn't understand him. Couldn't understand when he was gibbering and jabbering before, you know. Probably some Latin curse that he put on the world before he left. I don't know what it was, but, you know, this mystery here, Mystery Babylon, in Revelation 17, verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. Okay, let's look at 6 too, because this is important. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her. That beast is the devil, Satan, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. And then you get on over, it talks about the city on 7 hills. Let's see. The woman, it says, is a city. Look at verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So we through deductive reasoning, reading the Bible here, we can see who that great city is. And it's a woman with a golden cup in her hand, and what do they call their church? Mother Church. And their symbols, they have the woman holding the cup. They even had their own mint. They mint their own money. They used to mint, I don't know if they still do or not, they used to mint coins with a pope on one side and a woman with a cup on the other side. And the martyrs, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs or The Trail of Blood or, let's see, I'm trying to remember some of the other ones, Pilgrim Progress. I'm trying to remember some of the other books. It's well documented that Rome martyred the Bible believers. They burned them at the stake. I mean, they did a lot worse stuff. I mean, a lot of wicked stuff, boiling them in oil, and I don't even want to get into some of the other stuff. But they did all this stuff. And the funny thing is, when you say, well, it's terrible, it is terrible, but you have to realize, too, if you want to know what true history is, buckle your seatbelt, because the Lutherans did it, too. They did. The Methodists did it. The Presbyterians did it. You know who they did it to? The Baptists and the Anabaptists. Because they said, well, when they wanted to reform, and this is funny, though, because when they wanted to get out of, well, they didn't want to get out. When they wanted to reform Catholicism, they said this. They said the Pope's the Antichrist. The Pope's a man of sin. Martin Luther said it to his face. And then they said, you're saved by grace through faith. Not saved by no pope. You don't need anybody else praying for you. You can go straight to God. Praise the Lord. They're right on that. But then they burnt people at the stake because they were against baby sprinkling. They hated the Baptist thought process because they called them the Anabaptists, rebaptizers, and all different other stuff. And they were turning them in and burning them at the stake themselves because they believed in sprinkling babies. And there's not a baby sprinkled in that whole Bible. Not one. You find one instance, and I'll eat that book right here. I've read it. There's not one in there. Matter of fact, the people, there are some different types of baptisms in here, different dispensations, but when you get in the church age, the people were all baptized after they called on Christ, trusted Him as their Lord and Savior. They weren't baptized until then. So, you know, the Campbellites, the Water Dogs, the Church of Christ, they believe you got to be baptized by their man plus trust Christ. And if you're not baptized by their man and their water, you ain't making it. Well, I got news for them. If you're trusting their water, you're not saved. I mean, it says you trust Jesus Christ. You're not putting faith in Christ if you're putting faith in city water. and some guy, some sinner up there dunking you in it. Our faith is in the sinless one. Amen. I mean, you can come in here every Sunday and we can dunk you. And if you've never trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you'll split hell wide open and burn for eternity in a lake of fire. Water ain't going to save you. I can't help you. All I can do is point you to the one that can, Jesus Christ. So the mystery of godliness, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the mystery of the indwelling Christ, Christ in you, the mystery of Christ in the church, you in Christ, part of His body. Now those two are really important because there's eternal security. If He's in you and you're in Him, you're saved. You become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Then you're adopted into the family of God. Once you become part of a family, you're there. Amen? The mystery of the rapture, praise the Lord, I hope that happens today. The mystery of iniquity, the Antichrist, which has been working for a long time. Mystery of blindness and restoration of Israel, blindness in part and restoration of Israel. And mystery of Babylon, Mystery Babylon. It's not a mystery now, it was a mystery. But even the early Protestants, the early Reformers, they understood who it was and what the system was. The reason it's called Mystery Babylon is because it's a religious system, and all the Babylonian things that were going on have been drawn into one place and called one name. And that happened about 325 A.D. And Rome did it. But Rome wasn't any good. Rome was against God before 325 A.D. They just organized a bunch of pagan stuff and called it a religious system. And now they have a political religious system over there that basically runs the world. And if you don't believe that, I don't know if Donald Trump did or not. I doubt it. It's hard to say. But I don't think there's a president we've had that hasn't went over and kissed the Pope's ring. Billy Graham did. And you know what Billy Graham started preaching after he went over and kissed the Pope's ring? That hell's not real. Death is just a separation from God. And that everybody's, you know, there are going to be people from heaven in heaven that never heard Jesus Christ from all different beliefs if they were sincere. Now, does that sound like a Baptist distinctive or a Bible belief? I don't see that in the Bible. I mean, I see people that were sincere that were wrong that burn in hell, and people that were sincere and were right and go to heaven. But just sincerity, your salvation is not based on your sincerity or your belief. It's based on your belief and your trust, who you're trusting in. For by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It has nothing to do with the, well, I was wrong, but I was sincerely wrong. Okay. But we're talking about a man that God used in a mighty way to send revival across, a big revival across this country. He had stadiums, but look what the devil did. He had stadiums full of people, and people walking the aisle getting saved. I don't know if they are all saved or lost, whatever, you know, but he was preaching the gospel. And then all these people were looking at this man as a light, and then he goes, well, hell's not real, literal. It's just death and separation from God, and oh, there could be people all over the place to get to heaven, don't even know who Jesus Christ is, never heard of him. See how the devil used that? I mean, I'd say the devil probably used him more than God did. Just think all the people that messed up. You know, and I don't say that in pride. I hope it doesn't happen to me. I don't be at the end of my life saying stupid stuff like that. Put the Bible down and just making stuff up because it makes people feel good. There's something. You go over and kiss that Pope's ring and something happens to you. I believe some of our presidents started out wanting to do right. Matter of fact, Reagan, it'd be kind of hard for me to believe that Reagan did it, but maybe he did. I don't know. But he's probably him and again, I'm not sure I trust Trump either. I'm not sure, you know, better trust the Lord to put confidence in man. But him and Reagan are the only two that I could see that actually tried to do what they said they were going to do. They actually tried to. And if they had complete dictatorship, they could have done it. But then we wouldn't have a representative republic like we should have. But the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of Babylon are right there hooked together. And, you know, I don't have anything against Catholics. I got more against Baptists than I do Catholics. I hang out with the Baptists. But the religious system's evil. You know, and if there's a Baptist church down the road that's teaching the wrong stuff, the system's evil too. But Mystery Babylon's not a mystery when you open the Bible and read Revelation 17. So these seven mysteries, mystery of godliness, mystery of the indwelling Christ, mystery of Christ in the church, mystery of the rapture, mystery of iniquity, the Antichrist, mystery of the blindness and restoration of Israel, Mr. Babylon. Those are things that God said we're supposed to be good stewards of, which means he gives and entrusts them to us. We're supposed to be able to give them back to him. When he says, will I find faith in the earth? When he comes back, will he find people that believe all seven of those? There aren't that many anymore. There really aren't. And, you know, I'm thankful for our heritage that is now called Baptist, that did not come through that Catholicism, that come around it, and it come through Paul. But that being said, it's the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the Baptist. But the people that stuck with that book are the reason we have the rights and freedoms we have today. Even though they seem like they're dwindling away, this country would have never been founded and never been blessed like it was if it wasn't for those distinctives. And they were Baptistic. Amen. So if you wonder why, you know, we've got Baptist on the sign out there, it's because I'm thankful for the beliefs that we come down through, but I care less about that name. It's the name of Jesus Christ that saved you. It's Jesus Christ. It ain't Billy Graham. It ain't David Oxford. It's Jesus Christ.